When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before I start the podcast, I need to send out a thank you message to all my wonderful patrons. These are people that have signed up to donate each month money to help support the podcast. I appreciate them so much. They are Sean Poole, David and Jennifer Evans, Jeff Ulmer, Sylvian Groth, Liz Brunson, Yetta, Steve Van Sack, Robert Brown, Rob Barnett, Bella Corey, John Munson, Betsy Hodges, Levi Peter, Elizabeth Brunson, Stephen Malio, Steve Rogers, Dale Hosack, Terry Smith, Chris Bloom, and Mary Thomas. Thank you guys for being part of this community. If you want to join Patreon, it's really easy. Go to patreon.com, search for Seth Lessing Bruce, and from there you can log on and sign up for as little as $1 a month. Doing that, you get a handwritten thank you note from me. At certain tiers, you get unedited episodes. You get preview episodes. And you also can join my advisory council. These are the group of supporters who get first notice of when I'm trying something new. And they are able to give us feedback on what they think of these new projects. So thank you guys for being part of this. Now then, let's get on with the conversation. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Seth Lessing Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. We're getting off the Bruce train today, though I'm sure he will come up. We are talking Hall of Fame, we are talking music, and we are talking to my new friend, Amy. Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I saw Bruce Springsteen in 1974 or 1975 at CW Post College, so I count.
Yes.
Before Born to Run came out, so.
Yeah. One of the stories I tell on the podcast is that there was a guy who, similar to you, saw him during that time period where Landau said, I've seen the future rock and roll,
right,
and it's during that time period. And he was telling me, my guest, that he still is frustrated that he didn't find Bruce earlier because of all the shows he didn't get to see, like there in Jersey and everything. And right. So I decided, like, I didn't see Bruce till 2002. So it doesn't matter when you discover your favorite artist. It's like in football, if you miss an extra point, you chase that point the whole game. Right. I think if you miss your artist, you keep chasing that, wanting to get that fix of live shows, right, as much as you can.
I've only seen him twice. I saw him in 70. Whenever Born to Run came out, it was before Born to Run, and it was probably before the Bottom Line shows.
Okay.
But I was in high school, so I wouldn't have been really aware of the Bottom Line. I would have known of it. But and then I saw him in 1978 in San Francisco, and that's the last time I saw him.
Oh.
And he was not even a big deal in San Francisco. People knew who he was, but he was not. He was seen as an East Coast thing.
Sure. And
I went because I had already seen him, and he played Winterland, which was a fairly small hall. And I'm trying to think who opened up for him. I want to say it's like the Greg Kinn band or something. Local bands opened up for him. And yeah, they were more amped to see. It was not his crowd. People were glad to see him, but it was not, he was not let yet capital B Bruce.
Though, yeah.
78, I guess, would have been, I can't even think what album that would have
That's
been.
right around Darkness,
All
right?
right. I
Yeah,
don't
and
remember. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you
yeah,
I
no.
don't know. I don't remember
Yeah,
the show at all,
it
but.
could have been yeah, it could have been either before Darkness or during the that during the lawsuit time where he and Mike Appel were in that lawsuit and so
Oh,
he was touring. Yeah.
He still, when I saw him in 75, I guess, he still had David Sanchez in the group.
Yeah.
And he had a beard and the whole thing. But I actually, just to get some Bruce cred, for my high school graduation, I went to a very hippy dippy, like you don't have to take any classes high school. And I sang Growing Up for my high school graduation.
That is incredible, Boost Cred. That is awesome.
It's really funny. I
So,
thought I was a little drunk, but still, somebody was accompanying me on the guitar, and that's what I sang.
the more things change, the more they stay the same. 2 or 3 years ago, I had a young woman named Kayla Padilla on the podcast, and she is at the time was going to University of Pitt at the business school there. She also was an All-American basketball player. And she talked about that when she discovered Bruce in high school and that a religious teacher convinced got her interested in him. And her senior, she did a project and she did a video growing up based on growing up with
Oh,
that
wow.
is the
Okay.
music and
That's funny.
everything. It's funny, high schools,
Yeah, it seemed like some
70s,
high school. It seemed like a good high
2000s.
school. Yeah, some
Yeah,
high school stuff.
it is. Yeah. Amy, I'm so thrilled you're here. Tell us a little
Oh,
about yourself.
oh, God. I'm Amy. I'm a tourist. No, I'm a New Yorker, which should be fairly obvious. And I'm a retired music critic, but I was a music critic for about 30 years and I wrote for pretty much everybody, covering all different types of music. But in the last, I'd say starting in the 90s, like early 90s, really hardcore focused on R&B and hip hop. I am none of that like alt rock stuff did much of anything for me. Not that I didn't like certain bands, that was my lane. And I did that for a while, and then I decided to go back to school and get a college degree because I didn't have a college degree. And then I decided to become a school teacher. And right now I've been an adjunct for the last few years in New York City. I teach writing, I teach literature, I teach journalism, and I teach a history of hip hop class. And I taught a pop music, like a punk rock and a hip hop class at one school. The first music that I claimed as my, I grew up in New York in the 70s, so very much a product of top 40 radio, all that stuff. But the first scene, I guess, that I glommed onto that was my own, that I discovered on my own and I was part of, was punk. And I lived in San Francisco from 76 to 80. And became involved in the punk scene there. And that's how I started writing, actually. I used to write for a fanzine there because it was a way of getting into shows. You could just go to
Yes.
shows. And it was a really small little scene, but my roommate or ro one of, we all lived like 900 people to a house. And one of my roommates in the last house I lived in was Klaus Fluoride from the Dead Kennedys. So I became friends with them, and it just went like that and started writing professionally. And I guess in 86, 87, something like that.
Yeah.
And had a kid, and just did that. And then we'll talk about it, but Courtney Anderson and I, we are Pantheon guys. We co-host the podcast, I'ma Let You Finish, which is pop culture and music and politics and sports. If you listen to the show, that you know that we are nonstop talking about the Knicks. Somebody give us some fucking tickets already. God, if we talk about it, not well, we're both have been we're in the music industry back when everybody had corporate tickets.
Yeah.
But now that the team is good, nobody wants to give you tickets. But anyway, so we've been doing that for 4.5 years, and that's been a hoot. I guess that's it. What else is there to know about me?
That's a lot. Hey,
Can't
I
think of
was like to
anything.
start at the beginning. Talk about, you said you grew up there. What kind of family music did your family listen to?
None. Absolutely fucking none. No,
they
that's
were
not,
none.
No. My dad, okay, New Yorkers of a certain age will remember there was a show on WQXR, which was like the classical music station, every Sunday called Woody's Children. And it was just folk music, like commie folk music. And my parents were not commies. But so we would listen to that in the car. My dad hated vocalists. The only two vocalists he liked were Johnny Hartman and Barbara Cook. That's it.
Okay.
And singers. The fact that I sang in school, I don't know how he put up with it. And I don't know what, I mean, he played like jazz, but he didn't like Coltrane or bebop or anything like that. He liked Dixieland jazz, and he liked guitar players like Charlie Christian and Baden Powell and stuff like that, but no vocals. There couldn't be any vocals. I don't remember. And show tunes, a lot of show tunes. And Herb Alpert and Tijuana Brass. I remember that. There was a lot of that going on. But they always let us listen to music because my sister and I were like obsessed with music. We play music all the time. And the Monkees, we'd watch the Monkees, and we'd watch Where the Action Is and American Bandstand and Soul Train. But from nobody in my family is musical. Nobody can carry a tune in my family. I didn't play any instruments. I tried playing an instrument. I failed miserably at it, but I was in the chorus all throughout. I was in the school chorus all throughout elementary school and junior high. But yeah, and then just whatever was on the radio. Like I said, I grew up, everything was on the radio, and you just listened to everything. You listened to everything. The very first, like when we were kids, like if you behaved yourself and didn't act up when you were buying school clothes, I could buy a record.
Yeah.
So,
do you remember some of the first records you bought? Not
totally. The first 45 I ever bought was "I Want You Back" by the Jackson 5, because.
Nice.
Everybody, we all had crushes on the Jackson 5. I had a big crush on Jermaine Jackson. And then the first album, I bought two albums because they were two for $5 at the supermarket. Okay, let me see if I can remember. One of them, I know one was the Led Zeppelin record, and then I'm totally blanking on the second one. But I do remember like being going back to school clothes shopping with my mom in like junior high and just being like, ugh. And she goes, "All right, you can buy a record if you want to buy a record." And I like pointed up at the record. Remember when they used to have like record departments in department stores?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I like pointed up there, and it was like a New York Dolls poster. And I wanted that record. No, you're not getting that.
So
you're not getting a Dolls record.
I'm thinking you and I are similar age group.
Yeah.
I graduated high school in 77.
Okay, I graduated in 76. Yeah.
Okay, so.
But I was smart. I skipped a grade.
Ooh, okay. And I grew up in a family that listened to country music.
Okay.
Though my mom did like 50s rock, like Fats Domino.
Oh, yeah, none of that.
But I talk about this sometimes, Amy, that AM clock radio was the key to where I heard all the AM radio. Just, it was it.
I didn't have a clock radio. You must have grown up in a fancy household, but in the car. It was amazing to be in the car. And my sister's younger than me. I was listening to stuff, but it was just, I was just listening to the radio all the time. And me and my little girlfriends used to get together and we'd do dance routines. We had the Delphonics and the Jackson 5, and we had whole elaborate dance routines to everything, and it was just great. It's they say that your taste in music is shaped forever by what you heard as a kid. So it's really good to be old sometimes, because our taste in music, that's why fundamentally, no matter what kind of music I listen to, fundamentally I'm still looking for a hook and a chorus.
Yeah,
you know, no matter what it is, I'm like, where's the hook? Where's the bridge? Where's the chorus?
So what led you to San Francisco?
Oh, I got out of high school and I didn't want to go to college. And it's such a crazy, looking back at this now, I really can't believe they let me did this. But basically my dad had a friend from childhood who had a friend. So he didn't even know this other woman, but he knew his friend. And the other friend was looking for an au pair for her kids.
Okay.
And I had been to San Francisco with my parents when I was like 12. My dad was out there doing work, and the whole family, we went to California, and then we drove up the coast, and we were in San Francisco, and I was just like, oh my God, this is the coolest. I want to live here. This is the coolest place I've ever seen in my whole life. And yeah, so they let me move out to San Francisco to stay at this family's house to watch their children. And the idea was that I would stay out there for a year or whatever, and then come back and go to college. And I had no idea what I wanted to do in college or what anything about college. I ended up staying out there for 4 years, and I ended up getting kicked out of the family's house after 3 months because I stayed out all night one night, and the father was very upset about it. The mother didn't care, but the father was upset. That's how I ended up in San Francisco. I got out of high school and just went out there.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once, new quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of Scary Guys, Skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
You talked about you started writing in the 80s, right? So no, 70s. When, what? And were you always interested in writing? Or yeah, no. Were you a big reader?
I was a huge reader. I still am a big reader. I was a big reader. I always tell people I used to sit in the library of my public library. We had a really good public library, and they had a big magazine section. And I would just sit there reading music magazines all freaking day. I would just sit there and read Cream and Crawdaddy and Rolling Stone and Hit Parade. They had a really good selection of magazines. And I would just sit there and read the magazines. And I like knew these. I was like 16, 17 years old. And I knew these. Oh, Charles M. Young. Yeah. Janjuhelski. I didn't even know Janjuhelski was a woman until about 20 years ago. But talking to Janjuhelski was like, oh my God, like talking to a god. But yeah, I would just read all these music magazines. I really liked music a lot, and I liked to write. And I don't know. I thought I just fell into it. But yeah, I did. I used to read these magazines all the time. I was really obsessed with them. So I guess that's how it happened.
So in what about the punk scene spoke to you? I often ask when I'm having a Bruce fan on or someone who's passionate about an artist, I'll say, can you remember when you first, you know, heard of Bruce or heard of them, and what about their music spoke to you? So I'll ask you that same thing. What about that genre spoke to you and ignited that passion?
It's funny because I've always listened to all different types of music, but what it was is that I'd probably heard the Ramones before I moved out to San Francisco. I'd probably heard them. They were playing them on FM radio in New York. I didn't see any of the early New York bands because I was in San Francisco by that point. In high school, I listened to everything. The only band I would not listen to was the Grateful Dead because I can't stand them and I still can't stand them. There were these guys in my school. They were a little bit older than me. Maybe I'm in ninth grade. They're in 11th grade, something
Okay.
like that. And they were really into glam. And so I was really into, like, I would listen to Bowie and to T-Rex and the Mata Hoople and the Dolls and stuff like that. And my cat is hovering around here. She's going to jump into the screen.
That's
And
okay.
she's going to jump.
Welcome
Yeah.
anytime.
But I listened to everything. I think one of the first concerts I ever went to, it was embarrassing then, but now I look really freaking cool, was Mahavishnu Orchestra.
Okay.
I was looking to, yes. I actually thought the lyrics meant something, which obviously they don't. But I saw lots of different types of music. I was listening to Joni Mitchell. I was listening to everything. I was pretty open to everything except for the Grateful Dead. I couldn't stand the Grateful Dead. And then really into Parliament Funkadelic. I was just into everything. And I think what it was is that I'd heard punk and it seemed cool. And then my best friend, she is still my best friend, an old friend of hers was a publicist at Warner Brothers, and he was coming to town for the Sex Pistols show, the last show at Winterland in 78. And so we met up. I had never met him before, and then years later I end up working with him a lot. But he took us to Mabuhay, which was the Seabees of San Francisco. And
Okay.
I wasn't 21 yet, so that was like a big deal that I'm even there, because usually I got bounced
Sure.
out of every time they found out how old I was. And then he said to us, or he said to me, he goes, "Are you going to go see the Sex Pistols?" And I'm like, "No, obviously not. It's completely sold out." And he goes, "We're all going to go see the Sex Pistols." And I went to see the Sex Pistols at Winterland. Like, it's one of those shows. So is if as many people who said they were there were actually there, that show would have had to have been in like the Oakland Coliseum.
Yes.
Everybody was there. And I just remember it was the first time I'd ever seen a band that was my age. Like, they were like my age. Maybe they were a couple years older than me, but they were usually you go to shows and you're seated in an arena, you're at the Garden or something like
Yeah.
that. They were like, I mean, Winterland's again a fairly small venue, and they were like, I could see them. I could see them. They were right there. And it's a very infamous show because it's their last show, and it was musically, it was a disaster. It was a complete fucking wreck. But I just had never seen anything like that before. It was just mind blowing to me. And I was like, this is great. I had heard punk rock before. I knew who they were, obviously, and I'd heard other bands, but I just thought it was like so great. I was pretty eclectic in my taste. I saw Bob Marley in 1996 or something like that. I was the only thing that times I couldn't go see shows is if my parents didn't want me to go into the city to
Yeah.
go see or something like that. Hello, cat.
Hi there.
They used to do this great festival in New York City called the Schaefer Music Festival, and then it became the Dr. Pepper Music Festival in Central Park. And the tickets were $3, or then you'd be like, oh, $3. I'm not paying $3. I'm gonna sit in the rocks, or $1.50. And I saw, oh my God, I saw Dave Mason, Gil Scott-Heron, LaBelle, Chick Corea, everybody. It's hello.
So, as much as you love music, why was just Bruce, 80s Bruce, just not in your range?
I had all the albums.
I didn't know live, though.
Oh no, once I just figured I'd seen them at that point.
Okay, that's fair.
I was like, I probably was broke. Actually, it's very funny. I had a boyfriend in 19, when we did we go out? Like 1982, 1984. Yeah. And so like New York, everybody wears black and everybody's
Sure.
skinny. Fully unhealthy. Well, in the 80s, 70s and 80s, everybody just looked like they were dying and they wore black and they were like little punk rock, messed up, new wavy guys. And this guy, he was from Texas. So right off the bat, it's, oh my God, you're from another planet. And we used to laugh because not Born to Run, the
Born
Born
to
in New York
USA.
album had, there were ads all over New York City of his butt with the handkerchief.
Yeah.
And we used to say, oh my God, that's how Marlon dresses. That's exactly how he dresses. He wears jeans and a white t-shirt And that was like the first time that look suddenly became like something desirable in New York outside of the gay community. The gay guys had always dressed like that, but suddenly it became like a desirable look for straight guys to look like that. So it wasn't like I was making this statement that I wasn't going to listen to Bruce. I had I bought the albums, or I was getting them at that point.
Yeah.
I was writing more like towards the end of the 80s, but I just, you know, I was like, I had seen them.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Trust me. If somebody dropped Bruce Springsteen tickets in my lap, I would go see him. Trust me.
Okay.
I know that the man still puts on a show. And a friend of mine actually was in his touring band for a while when he did the Seeger sessions.
Fun.
Mark Anthony Thompson, you know who he is?
I know the name. I've heard name. Yeah.
I knew him. I met him as he has a great group called Chocolate Genius. That's his band that he performs in.
Yeah.
That's his band. But he played with Bruce, and I just heard nothing but amazing things. They all got together. Bruce met him when a bunch of people, him, Michelle and Deggio Cello, a bunch of people did the Nebraska album in not the World Trade Center. Yeah, it is the World Trade. It's called the World Financial Center.
Okay.
The World Financial Center. And I guess Bruce went to that show and met Mark and the rest of the sisters. Yeah.
Very cool. So we're going to get to more of your writing, but I'm just curious, as a fan, it sounds like you've gone to a lot of shows, a lot of different shows. Are any that stand out, Amy, stories that you want to share with me? And I'm looking, in case of you guys are not seeing this on video, Amy's face just lit up. It's sunshine. So I must have asked the right question.
I'm just trying to think. I mean, I'll talk about the shows. I mean, obviously the Pistols show was amazing. I have to preface it by saying that my memory is not great, only due to age and due to the 80s.
Yeah.
The 80s. The first time I saw the Pet Shop Boys, and I've seen them 5 times, and they're probably one of my favorite groups. I still remember that show, which is mind-blowing, because that was like 91, I want to say. So that was an extraordinary show. The first time I saw Amy Winehouse, she played Joe's Pub in New York City, which is a tiny little venue. It was her American debut. And that was one of the most stunning I've seen. It was probably one of the top 10 shows I've ever seen, but it was certainly one of the most stunning debuts I've ever seen.
Isn't it interesting? And this is not quite the same thing, but my son played Little League Baseball, right?
Yeah.
And there was a kid that played, and I remember telling my wife, like, this kid's just tons better than anyone else.
Right.
And years later, he got drafted by Major League Baseball. And it was like Bevan. And I was like, is that the same? And sure enough, I happened to have Chris's Little League thing, and it was the same kid name. And right. I said, it's just awesome. When you see someone, you go, they're just different. They're just things. So that's how Amy was?
No, I already knew who she was. Everybody, again, this is New York, so it's a very rarefied kind of world. And this was a show. It was an industry show. Anybody could have gone, but it was a very small thing. Tiny, it's a cabaret. It's like maybe 400 people.
Okay.
And everybody, she was like, Jay-Z was there, Mark Ronson was there, and Mos Def was there, and everybody and their mother was there. So I knew who she was. I had heard Frank. I was reviewing the show. I was reviewing the show for the Village Voice, but it was just one of those things where she walked out and she just was commanding, even though she was so clearly incapable of being a star.
Okay.
You could see it then, but she was just so compelling.
You mean by that? That's interesting.
She was a wreck. She was a nervous wreck. She was an absolute nervous wreck. But the voice was spectacular. Everybody knew the story. She wasn't far gone at that point. My take on her always was that she was an artist, but she did not have the psychological makeup to be a star. There's a huge, the worst thing that could have happened to her was to become famous. If she hadn't become super famous, I can't say she'd still be alive, but it was just too much. And then another show, it's fun. Every time I've seen the Pet Shop Boys, it's been extraordinary. I saw Nick Cave a couple of years ago, and I can't believe I'd never seen him. I can't believe. There are certain artists, I'm like, how is it that I've never seen this person before? And he was just amazing, too. He, like, galvanizing a whole stadium, not stadium, an arena. There's not a lot of shows. I can't remember. And then the local sort of like little, the punk bands. And I saw Flipper so many times in San Francisco. They were just, you couldn't take your eyes off of them because it was like watching a train wreck, but a really good train. I can't think of anybody I've ever seen where I was like, eh. And you also got, I got spoiled for a long time because I wasn't paying for stuff because I'd be reviewing it.
Sure.
Every time I see Yusu Ndour, it's transcendent. Every single time. Even though he's doing, his shows are shorter in length these days than they used to be. He's not doing the 4-hour shows. But every time I see him, because that voice is just, there's no voice. Nobody sings like him. And he's just like this engaging, warm. There are some artists I've seen like several times. And the aforementioned Chocolate Dinas, Pet Shop Boys. I've seen Roxy Music a bunch of times. And then there's some groups I've never seen, and I can't believe I've never seen Blondie. I don't know how that's humanly possible, but I never have. I never saw the Talking Heads. I don't know how that's humanly possible.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's humanly possible. I don't know how I avoided that. There's just huge gaps in my concert going for whatever reason. And then there's other bands that I've seen like a million times. So
is there anyone that stands out that you go, I'm surprised they weren't more successful?
Chocolate Genius.
Okay.
You could say the Replacements, but they did that to themselves. It was always that do they really want to be famous or not? Like, it's really hard to tell whether they want it.
Sure.
I don't know. Pretty much everybody I've seen have had the level of success that they were probably good with.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's
sure.
Not like seeing somebody and go, oh my God, why aren't they the biggest star in the world? Because maybe, like I was saying about Amy Winehouse, it probably would have been better for her had she not been the biggest star in the world.
I don't know if you've ever listened to, it's not on the Pantheon Network, but Andrew Hickey has a podcast, History of Rock and Roll in 500 Songs.
Okay.
And he did just recently, within a couple months ago, an episode on Janis Joplin.
Okay.
And it was really well done. And his premise is that she was put in a role and he really thinks that she would have liked to sang, been a different kind of musician. It was just a very interesting story, which reminded me of Amy, of your story with Amy.
I'm going to say a hard, I never was. Janis Joplin scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Sure.
I found it really creepy and scary. That said, did you read Holly George Warren's biography of Janis Joplin?
No, I haven't.
Spectacular. Holly's a really good old friend of mine, and she's great. But this book is just revelatory. She had the cooperation of the family, which always helps. But just the amount of detail, and you really start getting a sense of the pressure she was under. So take that and multiply it by 5 million with Amy Winehouse, because there was no music. Even Janis Joplin was doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
It's a really fantastic book.
Speaking of, you mentioned Nebraska. Did you read Warren Zane's Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Nebraska?
I have to make a confession.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've actually listened to Nebraska. I know I've heard it. Heard it. But I have a feeling it's one of those records that I think I listened to and I probably did listen to, but I couldn't name it. Yeah. So no, in short, no, I am not.
So I've told this to a couple of people. It's a fascinating book because he treats it like a mystery.
Okay.
Why Bruce had had The River with Hungry Heart. They had their first radio hit. And Little Steven says, once we were on the radio, that brought us the girls, and that brought us even more guys.
Right.
And then skip an album, and then Born in the USA. He comes word.
Right.
Why did he knew Nebraska in the middle? Why did he have to do this quiet him and a guitar album? And it's almost done a mystery. It's a really, I recommend it.
Probably because he knew what was coming next and he knew his life was going to be over.
And that's the premise, is that you needed to step back and take a deep breath before.
All hell's going
to
break loose.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
All hell is going to break loose.
Yeah.
And he's no longer going to be some
So
secrets.
I want to go two places. So I'll let you pick first, and then we'll go the other one afterwards. I'd love to more. How did you get involved with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And then I want to talk about the podcast. And I don't care in which direction, order,
all right,
in which
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right, as the origin story, as I remember, yeah. I used to be on this show called Four on the Floor on VH1. It was like a critics roundtable. So it was me, J.D. Constantine, Scott Polson Bryant, Anthony DeCurtis, and then we'd have a famous person, a guest. Famous.
Okay.
And so this was like 1995, I want to say, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame had just gotten started. And I was like, me and all three of us, J.D., Scott, Anthony was at Rolling Stone, so he was a little more connected into a, like a mainstream thing, but Scott was writing for Vibe, he was an editor at Vibe, and I was freelancing everywhere, and JD was at the Baltimore Sun and writing everywhere. So we had, they had as the guests, Suzanne Evans and Danny Fields from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So they were talking about, it was a fairly new thing at that point, and they're talking about it, blah, blah, blah. All right, as I remember it, at one point at the show, I went, I don't know anybody who votes in this thing. And 2 weeks later, a ballot shows up at the house. So I think that's how I got, I think that's how I became a voter. I can't think of anything else because it's not like anybody ever, that's, I said something and then I think we all got ballots. I think everybody there got a ballot after that.
So I'm, and I told you before we hit record, if I don't want to break any trade secrets or anything, but I'm fascinated by, so the ballot lists everyone that's eligible?
No, here.
No? Okay.
The okay. ballot is everyone who's been nominated.
Okay.
So there's this year, there's 1, 2, 3. There's a lot of people this year. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And then this year we can pick 7.
Okay. So that's.
So the ballot is the result of the choices and the result of voting within a smaller body. And then it gets to the ballot. It's like the Academy Awards. There's 9 million movies and everybody says, this is the movie. And then they get it down to the thing. And then you vote on that. So, yeah.
And does the amount of people you can pick vary from year to year?
Yeah, it seems like it. It's usually 5 to 6. This year it's 7.
Okay.
But I do remember years where it was 7. But it's usually between 5 and 7.
Is this something, and I'm talking in general terms, do you recognize, I get 7 choices. I know what 4 I'm going to pick immediately. The other 3 I've got to debate.
Oh, no, this ballot, I know, I can tell you the ones I will never vote for in a million years. There's some people in here, it's if you put a gun to my head, I wouldn't vote for them. But this was the only ones I'm quibbling over. I don't want to say exactly who I'm voting for, but
yeah,
this is a great ballot this year.
Yeah.
It's a really voting for Tribe, but I do that every year. But
are you allowed to write in anything? No. Okay.
So, yeah.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
It's think of it like the convention, right? The Republican and the Democratic convention. Yeah. They pick not so much this year because it's a done deal.
But yeah, you know, I know.
The ballot comes and then people vote on and then it's whoever wins, wins.
It's like on the sports thing, right? There right. is someone's eligible. They're eligible. They right. stay so many years on the ballot. And then there is a senior committee, like in football, that will go, okay, this person never made it. Now we're going to consider perhaps you go back and forth. And so they've done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you use to determine what's your process of this is who's getting my vote and this is who's not in general terms? Is there things that you think of?
I take influence fairly seriously. And I take chronology fairly seriously, which is why even though she was on the ballot a couple of times, I could never vote for Mary J, even though I love her until Chaka Khan got in. And now that Chaka Khan's in, I'll vote Mary J. I got no problem with Mary J being in, which is why I wasn't crazy about Eminem getting in as early as he did. Not because I don't like Eminem, but I just felt like it wasn't a good look. It would have been nice to have some of the other guys in. first, but I'm not mad that he's in at all. And it's good for hip hop that he is in. So influence, yeah. If I just flat out don't, there are just some bands I just don't like. I'm sorry. I just don't like them. And I have to sit there and go, all right, I don't like them. But sometimes I don't care really about heavy metal or Judas Priest, but Judas Priest is a hugely important band. They have influenced lots and lots of people. They are like Judas freaking Priest. Iron Maiden, not a fan. Couldn't name an Iron Maiden song if you put a gun to my head, and I'm being dead serious.
Sure.
But I know that they're a really important band. I would vote for them. If it was something like, there's nothing, oh, I need one more person, but I really do want to see the influence makes a difference and what they're, that's what, and I always like to vote for women as many times as I can.
Yeah. I'm going to get in that in a minute.
Women and black people. That's me.
Yeah,
I
want to vote there for
women and black people. And if you're a black woman,
yeah,
you got my vote.
Yeah. I do think that there's been a little bit of noise in 2023, like in 2022, when all the ticket brouhaha went with Bruce and the dynamic pricing, there was a lot of problems with their statements and Landau's statement. And I said, as much money as they make, they could hire a better publicist. I think the same thing with John Landau saying, Jan's been my friend for a lot of years. I was like, no, you tell your friend off record, hey, I'm sorry, dude, but that just looks horrible.
So, I didn't really, honestly, I don't know John Winter from a campaign.
Yeah.
I've been in the room with him maybe three times in my life in social kind of situation. I know what he looks like, obviously. I will say this, if you read the Jan Winter biography, none of this should have been a surprise to anybody.
Right.
So, I'm reading this biography, like, holy shit. How did this guy get as far as he did? None of it is a surprise. I don't know. I don't really know Landau, and I don't. And I've seen him at events type of thing, and he seemed like a perfectly nice guy. You know?
I'm sure he is. But I do think that one of the things I did at the end of 2022, Amy, is I realized if I wasn't careful, my podcast could be a bunch of white guys from the East Coast being on my podcast, right? It's a Bruce Springsteen podcast.
Right.
And I specifically went out of my way to try to get younger guest, female guest,
right,
different, because I wanted a different perspective of music fandom and not just Bruce fans. So I think that's a good to do. And I agree with your rule, right? I think that's perfect.
One year is really funny because I was like, I'm going to vote for all the girls and the dolls.
Yeah. And I love your idea of legacy because, and I'll throw it on sports for a minute. And as a Dallas Cowboy fan, and you guys, if you don't care about sports, skip ahead for a few minutes, but Drew Pearson was a receiver for the Cowboys in the 70s. He was on the All-Decade fam. He was the one who caught the Hail Mary pass.
Okay.
And he was not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people said that, how can any receiver that happened after him, can you vote for when you don't have him in it? And to hear your statement, right? Like, how can, if we don't have blank in there, when it's very clearly that this person is influenced by them, I think is a very good thing to think.
Well, I mean, like I said, Chuck, to me, they're just like, Mary is just such a singular, it's like, there are like five, that was like the lane of music I was covering. They were like, no matter what people think about Mariah Carey, whatever, what people think about Whitney, whatever, I'm sorry, you talk to any singer of that time, and those are the women. So you, it's, I'm not saying, and it's not that a, it's just, I think influence does matter. And even if that influence is one record, even if that influence is one record, it's, there are just certain bands that are just like undeniable in, and contemporary bands. And it's almost like you just have to be, and again, like I said, I am not an Iron Maiden show fan.
Yeah.
I don't, it's not like I got anything against them. It's just not music. But I know that they're really important. I know that. I'm not even an Ozzy fan, to be honest with you. But I know that he is foundational for certain types of music.
And so I heard the guys talking on the radio about Peter Frampton. And I won't, because it's on the ballot this year, I won't have you give a thought. But the idea that is that one Frampton comes alive, is that massive enough? Because it was.
Oh, everybody had that record.
Everyone, right? You and I are that era. Everyone
had that record. And the poster. Every girl had that poster on her wall.
Yeah.
Everybody. Everybody.
Yeah.
It's funny because Frampton, I've heard people say they're he's being inducted as Peter Frampton, but if you include Humble Pie in the mix, they were really big too.
And like I told you, I had a couple of guys that were working to get Cyndi Lauper on the
index. I love Cyndi. Cyndi's great.
Their theory was that a lot of people, one said, I thought she was already in there. And then they said voters went, well, she's going to be in there, so I'm going to give my vote to someone else, was their theory. I think that's fascinating, the amount of people you pick. And this is a personal thing. There are people that are just furious that Warren Zevon, and I get everyone has their fandom that they wish they would be in there. They want them that recognition. I am a huge John Hiatt fan. I think John Hiatt could give a shit if he's in the Hall of Fame or not.
Yeah, I love Warren Zevon.
Yeah.
I love Warren Zevon. Whatever the criteria is, it seems like he does.
I think he hits it. Yeah. I think so too. Yeah.
I'm a New York Dolls fan.
There you go. Yeah.
They're all dead, for fuck's sake. No, there's one that's still alive.
David. Did you have any thoughts about Willie? Was that anything for you?
Nelson.
Being from Texas, I mean,
Willie Nelson is an example of somebody who I know why he deserves to be in there. I didn't vote for him, but I know why he deserves to be in there. There is nobody on this ballot. There is nobody on the ballot the year before. Who are you going? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There's really absolutely, even with my dislike of aesthetically of some of them, there's no one here that's filler. There's no one here that's like, what are they doing on this ballot? It really honestly is very, even if you're not a fan, there's no argument that can be made against them unless it's just not your type of music. I just am like up to here, like every year when it's announced. So it's been a little less this year. I always call it the incels in their mother's basement clutching their pearls going, it's not rock and roll. Hip hop isn't rock and roll. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Are we still on that? We're still doing this. Like 30, 50 so, years. We're still doing this. Okay. Because if we're going to go, it's not rock and roll, then let's take all the Motown acts out.
Yes. I mean, it is a broad.
They didn't write any of their material. I just love it every year when everybody's like, oh, Jesus.
And they do. There is always these people every year. Oh, they're perfectly fine, but they're not.
My favorite is people who go on people's thing and go, I don't give a fuck about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And yet you just wasted 10 seconds out of your life to tell us that.
Yeah, but you
told us. I was equated to like alternate side of the street parking. I don't give a fuck about alternate side of the street parking because I don't have a car. But I don't go up to people and say, oh, alternate side of street parking. That's bullshit, man. I don't care because it's not something that impacts me, right?
Yeah.
Just that you should not give a shit about the New York City transit system. It's not something that impacts you. But if you were to go online and do an hour spiel about how much, the subway stuck in New York. Okay. So I just always makes me laugh. It's like people just need things to complain about.
I absolutely do think that's true.
It's almost like they see their world being taken away from them. And it's no one is stopping you from listening to any kind of music. Just listen to what it's music. This is just a really nice way of acknowledging people.
Absolutely. Are there people in back of your mind that you think should be in there that aren't?
Dolls.
Yeah. that's your baby, huh?
Shangri-Las. I'm shocked. Actually, I'm shocked the Shangri-Las aren't in. I like more girl, more groups with women in them.
Yeah.
As opposed to single, solo. No, the Shangri-La, the Dolls, I'm really amazed that Joe Cocker is not in.
Yeah.
And the Gap Band. I'd like to see the Gap Band. I'm a big Gap Band fan. Always have. Now, like I said, you could go down the list. There's just so many great musicians out there. Look, in my world, in my perfect little weird world, I used to say, just Pet Shop Boys every year, just put the Pet Shop Boys in every year. I was absolutely stunned, pleasantly so, when Roxy Music got in. I was like, wow, I didn't think that people, that they were that popular. So that made me really super happy. Yeah, the Dolls to me is just always the most glaring.
I got you.
Yeah, they've invented everything.
That makes sense.
They liked it, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And it would be nice if the MC5 were in. Wayne passing was really sad. But it's just a nice way of acknowledging people. And it's a nice way of people celebrating music. That's really basically what it is. And I just thought, that's why I just don't understand why people get so bent out of shape.
Yeah. I think it's well said. Talk about the podcast a little bit. I've kept you almost an hour. I want to hear about the podcast.
Okay.
And I do need to tell you that we miss Jalen Brunson here in Dallas. I am so happy for him. He seems like a hell of a great guy.
He seems like the nicest guy, right?
Yeah. The Mavericks fucked that up royally.
He is adorable.
And he has just blossomed there, and I'm so happy for him.
We love him. We love our Jalen. I know. He's just like, and he's injured, and we still won the other day. You don't understand. Being a Knicks fan, all right, being a fan of any New York sport is like how to teach. It's just the worst. It's just the worst. Saying that you're a long-suffering Knicks fan is redundant, because the implication is that you're long-suffering, because I'm old enough to remember when they won a championship. And I said that to somebody once, and they're looking at me like, oh my God. And I was like, all right, I'm not that old, but I am old enough when they won a championship. Sure. So yeah, Jalen's adorable. He's so cute and fun. And him and Hart are like little buddies, and they do little podcasts together. I know, they're so cute. I love them. And we hate James. See, the reason we're not winning games the Knicks is because of Jim Dolan. Jim Dolan is the curse. He's a horrible human being. He kicked Charles Oakley out of the garden, and we are going to burn in hell because of him. All right. So several years ago, I knew Courtney through the biz. He was in video promotion, and he's a remixer and has done production stuff and worked at Columbia. And we have a lot of mutual friends, and we'd always run into each other, and he cracked me up and I cracked him up. And then another mutual friend of ours said, Courtney, people have always been like, oh, you should do a podcast. And I did something a bunch of years ago, and then it just fell apart. And he goes, Courtney's looking to do a podcast. And I was like, wow, that's cool. So we got together. We knew each other anyway. And we didn't have any equipment. He didn't know what the hell we were doing. So we go up to his house in Harlem, and we're sitting there like with a Mac, like sharing a mic, like the fucking Beatles or something like that. And it's taking, he's like really neurotic about it. He hates the sound of his own voice, which is funny because I think his voice sounds great. And I finally went, Courtney, just pull the plug. Let's just do this already. You're driving me nuts. So we did it. And then we had to come up with, and we were both saying it had to be, because we both have like pet expressions. One of his is for some reason, right? He'll always say for some reason. And then mine is not for nothing. I'm always saying not for nothing.
Okay.
But we decided it couldn't be something that we were both like tied into. And then we're sitting there, and I said, oh, I came up with a name. And he goes, what? I went, I'm going to let you finish. He goes, oh, that's great. Because everybody thought it's so funny because me and him are like, yeah. He didn't even know that I got the name from that time when Kanye ran up on stage. And what's so funny, and he said this to me the other day, am I the only person who didn't pick up on that? And I went, yeah, pretty much. He was at that show when it happened. He was working with Beyonce, and he was like taking care of Beyonce when that happened. And I said, you probably blacked out when it was all going on, but he was actually at the I'ma let you finish moment. So anyway, so we started doing it. We were doing it twice a month. We would go up to his house in Harlem, and then sometimes we'd come to my place, and we our friend found us a community radio station in Chinatown. And so we were recording there once every other week. And then the lockdown happened for obvious reasons. We couldn't go into a tiny little room sharing a microphone with each other. We were going in there wiping everything down. This was when things were starting to happen. And in a very racist, horrible way, Chinatown was like the center of everybody's paranoia, though.
Right.
But we were wiping everything down just because there were a million people in there. So that happens. And so we're both at home. So we figure out first we were doing it on Google. Oh, that was a disaster. And then because I taught, I had the educational Zoom. So we could go for, we don't have to pay for it. And we can just talk for 5 hours. It's great. And then a friend of ours made a really good recommendation. He said, listen, a marketing guy. He goes, people are stuck at home. Records start going every week. People are not doing anything. People are like losing their shit. Start recording every week. So we did. And we just kept building and building and doing it. And then I happened to be on Joe and Kristen from Who Cares About the Rock and Roll Hall pod. So I was on their podcast and I'm looking at their mic and I went, oh, that's a really cool mic. Where'd you get that mic? Because we had shit equipment. And they went, oh, we're on this with these people. We're with Pantheon Podcast and they gave us mics. I went, oh, I want a mic. I'm like totally like such, I want a mic. It's free. It's a free mic. How do I get a free mic? So they said, oh, let us introduce you to us. And so then that's how we got on Pantheon. And Courtney and I were like, we went down the list and we went, do they know that we're like the only show who's not talking about like a rock band? We're like such unicorns here. But anyway, so it's become, you know, we have, now that we have guests a lot more, and that's a hoot and a half, having guests, this week's show is Rob Tannenbaum, who's on. We tend to get a lot of writers just because, to be honest, that's my world and I can grab them. And also most writers tend to be good talkers.
Yeah.
And nobody cares about us. So we're so happy when people want to talk to us because nobody gives a fuck about writers. And we've had some celebrities, but it's really fun. We do it once a week. We take little breaks now and then. And when I go on my crazy little trips and stuff like that, we put a pot, and it's definitely very opinionated. You've heard us. We're definitely
sure.
We definitely have our moments where we're like, but it's a good, it's very, I think in a lot of ways, what's good about the show is first off, we're both very funny, which is good. And even when we are with each other, we both have a tremendous amount of respect for what the other one does. Courtney is a true blue loyal person, and I totally appreciate that. And I hope I'm the same with him too. So we get each other, and I think it's always good when you have, we're both New Yorkers, but I'm a white woman. He's a black gay guy. We see things both in the same way and in different ways, and we're not afraid to talk about the similarities and the differences because there just are. There just are. And I think it's really important on his point, from his standpoint that he has, that people hear that voice and not have stereotypes about anything.
Yeah.
And hopefully the same with me. But it's a lot of fun. It cracks us up. It's exhausting. We get done at the end. We're like, oh my God, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm sick of the sound of my own voice. But it's fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And so, yes, I'm going to let one word. And our friend Al Diaz, who was one half of Samo with Basquiat, he did the logo for us, which is cool. So, New York-y.
Cool.
Yeah.
What has surprised you most about doing the podcast?
That people listen.
So when
I remember like I said to my son once, I said to him, oh, you should check out my podcast. And he goes, I have been listening to you my entire life. Why would I want to go out of my way to listen to you? And I went, that is a very good point. That is. And a friend of mine once said, podcasts are the middle-aged lower back tattoo.
That
people listen. It kind of blows my mind. Obviously, we knew our friends were going to listen. But when people will say to me, oh, like when we see like people who are checking in on our Facebook stuff, or I'll go, you've heard this? And they went, yeah. Or like when publicists are like, oh yeah, we want you to talk to our, I'm like, really? So that kind of blows my mind. Cause Courtney and I are both like riddled with self-doubt. So when someone actually likes us, we're like.
That I love that. That is so awesome. All right. Gosh, this has been so much fun.
Oh, I have a good answer for the question you're going to ask me.
Good. I have been working on it.
I've never been asked that question before. I just want to first go on record of saying that.
Good. But before I get to that, is there anything I should have asked you that I haven't?
No.
Okay. All right. Yes. In a minute, I'm going to let you promote where to find you, how to reach you. But I end every podcast with the Mary question. If you're over here because you listen to, I'm going to let you finish. Thank you for checking out Set Listing, Bruce. Jay Armstrong is an honors English teacher, now retired. But when he was teaching, he would give his class the lyrics to Thunder Road, and they would read it as if it was a poem. They would talk about the imagery Bruce uses. They would talk about the themes. They would compare it to other American poets like Robert Frost. And then he would ask his question. He would ask his class at the end of the day, does Mary get in the car? Amy, that is your question.
I will say this. I will say I teach the story, Joyce Carol Oates' story, Where Are You Going, Where Are You Been? And that the question in that story too is, does she open the door?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I listened to the song again the other day, and I was talking actually to Rob Tannenbaum and I said, they're going to ask me this question. And he said, okay. He says to her, the protagonist, you ain't a bee, but hey, you're all right. So it's basically the saying, I guess you'll do. Like, he's negging her already. So strike, no good. I'm not a hero. Okay, so he's a loser too. So we have two, like, basically a girl that I guess she's okay. You're not as good looking as your sister, but okay, you're desperate because you're old. You're old and desperate. And I'm old and I'm not really particularly good either. Climb in the back. Like, she doesn't even get to sit in the front of the car. She has to sit in the back. What the fuck is that? It's a town of losers. So if it's a town full of losers, then he's a loser too. So he's a loser. He doesn't let her sit in the front seat. He's like living with his mother. She's not pretty enough for him, but she's so old and she should be grateful that this guy. So I hope to God she does not get in the car. How's that?
I love it. He's posting, yeah, why are these people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? He's in his mom's basement posting that on website.
It's like, you literally, I didn't even think of that when Rob said that. I'm like, yeah, he basically says, you ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right. What's to be told by the man that's asking you to leave your town and run away with his loser ass, excuse me. Like, who are you, protagonist? Or what dreamboat are you? You're not young. You're not a hero. You're not a savior. What are you? You big loser. There.
Very nice. I love that answer.
Mary, if you're listening, keep your monkey ass at home and don't go with this loser. And she probably does go with him and they have 10 kids, right?
My audience is split. About 50% say she gets in.
Okay.
About 50% say she doesn't.
But the best, who does that?
Huh?
It's just, I never thought about it, I have to be very honest with you. I've never given this question some thought. I know the line is like the screen door slams or the waves or whatever.
And I actually had a shirt made up that said, it's not, does Mary dress sways or waves? It's, does she get in the car?
Right.
What's funny, Amy, is when I have Don Bruce fans join me, every once in a while they get a pushback. Well, I don't like Bruce Springsteen. Why are you asking me this question? I'm like, I ask everyone that question. This is my version of the actor's studio, right?
But you should read that Joyce Carol Oates story because it's based on the Starkweather story. But it ends, though it's a much more ominous, but it ends with that sort of does she or doesn't she moment.
And I remember The Lady or the Tiger. That short story that I read in high school, right? And as a kid, I was like, no, what's the answer? And there is no answer. It's what you know. I got to have the answer. Right. This is great.
But like I said, as soon as when I was talking to Rob about it, I said, yeah, I'm going on this podcast. And he goes, he's like totally dissing her. He's like saying, you're not good looking.
Yeah. I love it. Now, I will argue. My wife, by the way, says the same thing. My wife says he calls her ugly. Of course, she doesn't get in the car. My argument is that Mary often puts herself down and says, I'm not that pretty, you know me, why would anyone want me? And so my being a romantic, I think he's bringing that up as a going the a salesperson meeting
cheap,
the objection.
A cheap attempt to manipulate her? No, sorry.
No, making the objection, no, making bringing the objection and putting it so that she can't say that. That's what my thought is.
Yeah.
So, okay, got it.
You dumb high school dropouts. They ended this at the end. Sorry.
No problem. If someone wants to reach you, Amy, what's the best way?
You can call me. No, I'm gonna let you finish is on Pantheon Podcast. So you should use the app for the Pantheon app for that. We drop our new shows usually on Tuesdays. We're doing it now on Tuesdays. You can find us on Spotify. You can come to our Facebook page because we have lots of good conversations. We're on Instagram, Spotify. I refuse to use Twitter, but Courtney still does use it. We're there. We're on Deezer. We're on Apple. We're on every known platform known to mankind. And it's a lot of fun. And it's we're political. We're outspoken. We love music. We're our next show. We have a show out right now with the writer Rob Tannenbaum, which is hilarious. And our show that's going to be next week is an all Pet Shop Boys show. We're going to talk about our love. And that's another shameless begging for them. But we're going to talk about our love of Pet Shop Boys and why we love, but not just like we love them, we love them, we love them. We break down exactly why and why they're such an essential band. So that is us. And we're coming up on our fifth year in June, which is crazy.
That is awesome.
I know.
Thank you. Yeah. I am so glad you're part of the Pantheon family.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. And you share that you're going on a trip. I hope everything is safe. You have a good time. And anytime you want to come back and talk, I'd love to have you.
Oh, thanks. So, yeah. We'll have to figure, I'll have to get Courtney to listen to Bruce Springsteen. No, he listens to Bruce Springsteen. Courtney worked at Columbia for crying out loud. He probably met Bruce Springsteen.
I would love to talk to Courtney. Yeah. If you need as my wife and I say, we are very lonely blueberries in a strawberry field of Texas.
Oh my God. Oh, you live in Texas?
Yes, I do. Yes, I'm in Dallas.
Fuck.
I know. You go, what? Really?
What the fuck?
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll have someone in. I'll have a fan from Florida, and we'll debate which is the worst governor.
No, which is the worst. I know. Yeah. I was in London a couple of years ago. I'm friends with Mark and Barney from Rocks Back Pages, and this is when Trump was running and Brexit hadn't happened yet. And we were like, who's more fucked? And they were like, we're more fucked because we're leaving an entire continent. You should obviously get rid of him at some point. And I went, yeah, I guess you're more fucked. You are more fucked. But now I take it back. I think we're more fun.
I think so, too.
Oh, my God. Who's going to run against Abbott or wheel against Abbott?
Yeah, yes. I don't know. I just, Beto, you know.
Beto going to run? You think
Beto? Beto ran and lost. I do think, I'm hoping Beto almost beat Ted Cruz.
Right.
He almost beat him last time. Cruz is up again. I am hoping that we can get someone to take him down. Cruz is just one of the most unlikable, horrible
person. Oh my God, you want to punch him in the face.
You do.
You just want to punch him.
Yeah, I absolutely.
Talk about somebody like you. The man calls your wife ugly and you're still endorsing him. You know who they should have run. You know who needs to run is that woman who almost died of an abortion.
Yes, that's just
they need
crazy.
They need to take that woman and put her, and she seems like, I've seen her interviewed, she seems like she has the wherewithal, and she seems like she's financially stable enough to do it. She seems, I'm like looking at that woman in awe of how powerful she is.
Yeah.
And they need to just put, because I think that's gonna, oh my God. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I have
that's
a good friend in Dallas too. I know. It's
what are you gonna do? But we get Luca, so there we go. Amy, thank you so much. Good, listeners,
when does this
out the... All right,
care.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. See you later. Bye-bye. Thank you for checking out this episode. If you enjoyed our discussion, I hope you will check out other episodes of the podcast. I've spent over 7 years talking to hundreds of music fans
around the world about the power and magic of music. Please follow me on all my socials. I'm still on Twitter, aka X, as Jesse Jackson DFW. The show is at Setlusting Bruce. The show and I are both on Facebook as well. I'm a part of a few other podcasts. On Perfectly Good Podcast, me and my co-host Sylvan are talking about every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. I am part of a few other podcasts. On Perfectly Good Podcast, me and my co-host Sylvan are talking about every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. Both Perfectly Good Podcast and Setlist and Bruce are part of the Pantheon Podcast Network, where there are dozens of great podcasts about music. Charles and I talk all things Doctor Who on Next Stop Everywhere. I'm joined each week by Lou and Karen on Last Best Hope for Conversation as we discuss Babylon 5 and other pop culture topics. This show can be reached at setlustingbruce@gmail.com. And I would mean the world to me if you could send me feedback on any of the podcasts. Or please reach out to schedule time for you to join me on a future episode. Getting to talk to people about their love of music and their favorite musicians and other creative endeavors is a passion of mine. And I hope that the conversations bring you a little joy, a little love, and a whole lot of light.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.